Amen. If you be so kind as to turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And I want to do something that really is convicting to me without being too legalistic, but something I feel very, very strongly about. And that's Halloween, celebration of Halloween. So I want to give you 20 reasons, and I could have gotten many, many more, 20 reasons why Christians shouldn't celebrate Halloween. And it would be impossible for me to go through all 20 of them in the time allotted, so some we will just briefly touch on. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 20 reasons Christians shouldn't celebrate Halloween. Chapter 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And I want to begin in verse 14. Verse 14. And this is just to launch us. And we'll be, and I want you to keep your a mark there, because we'll come back and visit that a couple of times as we look at these 20 points. The Apostle Paul writes, by the Holy Spirit, inspiration of the Holy Spirit, do not, command, be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion or fellowship has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial or the devil? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Therefore, command, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean and I will receive you. I will be a father to you and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. And hold your spot there and go with the 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And I really want to show you my concern, as the Apostle Paul had his concern for the Corinthian church, his most problematic church. Many problems here, infiltrated by false teachers who were maligning the Apostle Paul's reputation, his speech, his appearance. And Paul had a great concern for their minds. And he says in verse 3 of 2 Corinthians 11, he says, but I fear lest somehow as the serpent, which is another name for the devil, another title for the devil, as the serpent deceived Eve by his subtlety, his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the sincerity or the simplicity that is in Christ. You may go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. If I were to ask you, and by giving a name, if I were to say Christmas, if I mentioned the holiday of Christmas, what would come to mind? Probably the birth of Jesus Christ for Christians. Even the secular world may say Santa, but in the back of their mind, they understand that this is the season where Christians celebrate the birth of Christ. If I were to mention Thanksgiving, you may say turkey. Getting to go with the family, eating with the family, and a family reunion in a sense. But you also, as a Christian, may think about thankfulness and gratefulness to God for his goodness and his kindness. If I were to mention Easter, some of you may think about eggs and a bunny. But Christians think about the resurrection of Christ, the victory that we have in the resurrection of Christ. And even the unbelieving world understands that Christians celebrate, whether they believe it or not, celebrate the resurrection of Christ. But when I mention Halloween, what's the first thing come to mind? Demons, Satan, the devil, ghosts, goblins, the spiritual world. No thought about Christ. And yet, Halloween has become the second largest celebration or commercial celebration in America, garnering some $7 to $14 billion for companies that are marketing Halloween wares in the celebration of this holiday. Only Christmas exceeds it. But is it just another innocuous holiday? Or there's subtlety behind it? Paul again writes in 2 Corinthians 11, I am concerned about your minds. I know Satan is subtle. He is crafty. Paul warns that the devil has devices. He has schemes. He is looking for a crack in the door. So is Halloween just another innocuous, innocent, fun day? Or is it Satan's attempt to infiltrate? 20 reasons why I believe strongly that Christians should pass by this day. I am not being legal. You do as you please. But as a pastor, I have to give you my warning. And every couple of years, I do this. I bring up this Halloween. And I struggle with it this time because there are mixed views on whether we should celebrate it or not. But I strongly believe, and this is coming from me, I strongly believe this is the day where we practice the Passover. Let it pass by. No handing out of candy, no cutting on of lights. Let the world know that we're different. And so I want to begin by saying why. Why should Christians not celebrate Halloween? Number one, because of Halloween's origin. Because of the origin of Halloween. We can say Christmas and Easter was started by the Catholic Church in a sense, possibly, and that it may have pagan origins and so forth. But again, when we think of those days, the connotation of those days, we think of Christ. Halloween is no such day. We immediately think of that which is evil, that which accompanies Halloween, parties, drunken parties, and debauchery, and all types of evil. But Halloween's origin. And as I was studying, rather than try to remember all of this in my mind, I thought I'd read it to you. Listen to the origins of Halloween. Halloween's origins date back to the ancient Celtic festival of Samhain. The Celts, who lived 2,000 years ago in the area that is now Ireland, the United Kingdom, or Britain, and northern France, celebrated their new year on November 1st. This day marked the end of summer and the harvest and the beginning of the dark, cold winter, a time of year that was often associated with human death. Celts believed that on the night before the new year, which was November 1st, the boundary between the world of the living and the dead became thin or blurred. On the night of October 31st, they celebrated Samhain, when it was believed that the ghost of the dead returned to earth. In addition to causing trouble and damaging crops, Celts thought that the presence of the otherworldly spirits made it easier for the Druids or the Celtic priests to make predictions about the future. For a people entirely dependent on the volatile nature, natural world, these prophecies were an important source of comfort and direction during the long, dark winter. To commemorate the event, the Druids built huge sacred bonfires where the people gathered to burn crops and animals as sacrifices to the Celtic deities. During the celebration, the Celts wore costumes, typically consisting of animal heads and skins, and attempts to tell each other's fortunes. When the celebration was over, they lit their hearth fires, which they had extinguished earlier that evening, from the sacred bonfire to help protect them during the coming winter. About AD 43, the Romans had conquered the majority of the Celtic territory. In the course of the 400 years that they ruled the Celtic lands, two festivals of Roman origin were combined with the traditional Celtic celebration of Samhain. The first was Feralia, a day in late October when the Romans traditionally commemorated the passing of the dead. The second was the day to honor Pomona, the Roman goddess of fruit and trees. The symbol of Pomona is the apple, and the incorporation of this celebration into Samhain probably explains the tradition of bobbing for apples that is practiced today on Halloween. By 800, the influence of Christianity had spread into the Celtic lands. In the 7th century, Pope Boniface IV, this is Catholicism, which is literally another religion, and has many, many pagan elements in it, designated November 1st All Saints Day. Again, a time to honor saints and martyrs. It is widely believed today that the Pope was attempting to replace the Celtic Festival of the Dead. Whitewash it. See, that's what we're trying to do. Sanitize it. Make it Christian. So we don't want our kids to feel uncomfortable, so we're going to try to make some type of celebration as well. He says he tried to replace it with a related but church-sanctioned holiday. The celebration was called All Hallows or All Hallowmas. From Middle English, All Hallowmas, meaning All Saints Day. And the night before it, the night of Samhain, began to be called All Hallows Eve and eventually Halloween. Even later in 81,000, the church would make November 2nd All Souls Day, a day to honor the dead. It was celebrated similarly to Samhain, or simultaneously, in the same time as Samhain, with big bonfires, parades, dressing up in costumes as saints and angels and devils. Together, the three celebrations, the Eve of All Saints, All Saints, and All Souls, were called Hallowmas, in which we call Halloween. All three connotations have to do with the dead. So one reason we shouldn't celebrate Halloween is because of its origin. Its origin was not to glorify God. Its origin was satanic in nature, to honor the dead, to fear the dead, to appease the dead. Number two, we shouldn't celebrate Halloween. Why we shouldn't celebrate Halloween is it doesn't glorify the triune God. That's why I mentioned, if I mention Halloween, do you think about God? It brings no glory to God. You don't have the term. You have the verses and you can study it later. But in Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 24, listen to what the word of God says. But let him who glories in this, that he understands and knows, capital M-E, me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness and judgment and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. In Matthew 5:16, Jesus says, let your light shine so that men will see your good works and give glory to God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 31, it says, it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. In Colossians 3:17, again, it says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Halloween does not glorify the triune God. Number three, it glorifies that which is evil. The connotation is ghosts, the dead, witches, warlocks, evil spirits. In Romans chapter 1, verse 22, they professed to be wise, they became fools. What did they do? They changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the image made like corruptible men. We are trying to whitewash the day, make it somehow Christianize it, give it some type of virtue and piety. No. It glorifies that which is evil. Some of you may be planning to go out dressed like a witch. And I've come to know many of you, and it could be, possibly you might be a witch. And your other vehicle might be a broom. You just drive your car to church. But tonight you will be flying. It glorifies that which is evil. In Romans 13:12, the Bible tells us, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. It glorifies that which is evil. Number four, it displays God as tolerant of evil. True believers now, they're out trick-or-treating, knocking on doors. They're out at parties, and there's drinking, and there's this horrible music. And there's no honoring of God, and debauchery and immorality is rampant. You know you're not going to say anything about Jesus at these parties. You may be dressed like Jesus, but you're sure not going to say anything about Jesus. It displays God as though he's tolerant of evil. Psalm 97:10. You who love the Lord hate evil. In Psalm 101. 3 and 4. Listen to this. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall depart from me. A perverse heart shall depart from me. I will not know wickedness. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 7. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. In Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And in Isaiah 1:16, listen to this. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doing from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Halloween's origin doesn't glorify the triune God. 3, it doesn't glorify that. It glorifies that which is evil. Number 4, it displays God as tolerant of evil. We believe God is tolerant of evil. So what we try to do is we compromise. We convince ourselves that it's all right. And we know that God will not be glorified or on display. Number 5. Of the 20 reasons Christians shouldn't celebrate Halloween, it equates God with the devil and demons. Here's a day that clearly the connotation is that of evil. And now we're trying, as Christians, trying to bring ourselves in to some type of cohesive group with them. Again, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15. And what accord does Christ have with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial, I should say, or the devil? What accord? Do they serve the same purposes? Do they have the same purposes? The same will? Can I equate God with the devil? With Christmas, I can say that we're celebrating the birth of Christ. And it's an opportunity to witness and tell people of the birth of a Savior. With Easter, the same thing. I can say that the Savior died for sin. And I have an opportunity, a door is open where I can witness the resurrection of Christ. Why he died. And he has to offer all who believe in him eternal life. I can do that. Thanksgiving. I can say be thankful to God. It opens the door to witness for Jesus Christ. I can say be thankful for what God has given you. If you have food and clothes, be thankful. Be thankful for all of the blessings that God has blessed you with. But Halloween? What am I going to thank you for? Your costume? It equates God with the devil. Number 6, it literally shames God's name. It brings shame to God's name. Remember over in 2 Samuel chapter 12, David, when he was caught after his adulterous act and the murder of Bathsheba's husband, and Nathan confronted him. And Nathan told him this. He said, you have given the heathens an opportunity to blaspheme the name of God. God had chosen you. He had made you king. You were to represent him. Even God said, a man after my own heart. And you have gone and done this act, this wicked act. And now you've given the enemies of God an opportunity to blaspheme God. So here we are celebrating Halloween. And then we say, praise the Lord. He said, what kind of Lord is this? In Romans chapter 2, 24, same thing. Paul accused the Jews because of their immoral acts, their hypocrisy. He accused them of allowing the people to blaspheme the name of God. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 2, the false teachers, what they do is they malign the name of God. They cause people by their antics to malign God's name. See, when we as true believers to get out there and act like the world and act immorally, guess who takes the brunt of that? God. God is blamed. Oh, I don't want to be a Christian. Look at them. I don't want to be a Christian. If that's being a Christian, I don't want to be a Christian. Bunch of hypocrites. It shames the name of God. God's name is holy. All of us who are believers are saved in the name of Jesus. His name is holy. Number 7, it distorts God's character. It distorts God's character. In Leviticus 11, verse 44, you don't have to turn, but listen. For I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore consecrate yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any creeping thing that creeps on the earth. For I am the Lord who brings you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. Old Testament. Listen to the New Testament, 1 Peter 1. I'm going to begin at verse 14. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust desires, as in your ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Distorts the character of God. God is holy. And therefore, I want to make sure I don't shame his name. I'm not saying perfection, but there should be a driving desire in every one of us that the name of God not be shamed and that we live according to what we profess. And if that means avoiding the day, letting it pass by, then I will. I got 364 other days. And on leap year, I got 365. I put on a costume the next day. And I know some of you are probably saying, you look like you got on a costume now. Number 8, I believe it grieves God. In Genesis chapter 6, remember the story of Noah? In verse 5, you don't have to turn, but listen. Then the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. I mean, it wasn't even a break. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. And in Ephesians 4:30 says what? You don't grieve the Holy Spirit. When we do that which shames God's name, bring dishonor to God, doesn't glorify God, we grieve the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. Just as Paul said in 2 Corinthians 6 right there. He says, you corporately, us, we are the temple of God. Individually, as a saved individual, the Holy Spirit dwells in us, and we are the temple of God. And so am I going to dress the temple of God up in a witch outfit? Am I going to dress the temple of God up as Freddy Krueger? Am I going to dress the temple of God up as a prostitute? Am I going to dress the temple of God up as Adolf Hitler or any other kind? What am I doing? It grieves God. God's Son has died for our sins, and then we're out there trying to compromise with the world. We're trying to sanitize it. Roger, too legalistic. Well, be it. Number 9. It defies God's command to avoid such practices. Now, this I want you to turn to. Deuteronomy 18. Number 9, it defies God's commands to avoid such practices. I know what you're going to say when I read it. But I got an answer for you. Got an answer for him, 7. Deuteronomy, that's in the Old Testament. Now, some of you see it in some of y'all in the back of your Bible. Quit worrying about the Halloween outfits and learn where the books of the Bible are. That was kind of cold, wasn't it? Yeah. Lord, forgive me. There's an arrogance in there. Sorry, Lord. Now God has delivered the Jewish people from the bondage of Egypt, given them his laws. They're going into the promised land. And look what he says beginning in verse 9. And when you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you, you didn't earn it, you shall not learn to follow the detestable abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or daughter pass through the fire. They would sacrifice their children, throw them in the fire. You know what? They would do that as an offering to the gods, or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For all who do these things are detestable to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives out the people who are in the land. He drives them out. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God. For these nations, verse 14, which you will dispossess, I should say, listen to soothsayers and diviners, but as for you, the Lord your God has not appointed such for you. You say, well, Rod, I'm not practicing that, but you're playing one of them. What's the difference? Go to 2 Corinthians, or 1 Corinthians 10. I want you to see this one as well. 1 Corinthians 10. It defies God's command to avoid such practices. If you are mixed up in horoscopes and going to mediums with crystal balls, and you know what? We laugh about that, but honestly, there are countless people now going to mediums to have palms read and crystal balls. Come to my house. Astrology, horoscopes, and I know about horoscopes. I used to live by when I was lost. Come to my house, bring your money, just the same money you were going to give them, come to my house, and I'll pull up this crystal ball. And I'll give you a word from the Lord, and just put your money in the church. Word of Life, make the check out the Word of Life Community Church. I don't want the money individually, put it right in this ministry. You'll get more out of the Word of God than you'll get through a crystal ball. But listen to 1 Corinthians 10. And I want to begin in verse 18. Observe, Israel, after the flesh, are not those who eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? Talking about, you know, idolatry and the sacrifice that were made on these idol altars. What am I saying then? That an idol is anything, or what is offered to an idol is anything? No. Rather, the things with the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to who? See, they think they're gods. These false gods, they think are gods, but they're actually demons. Demons masquerading as deities. You go to possibly a soothsayer or some medium to get your fortune told, or have them look at the palm of your hands and read your lines and so forth. And some of what they say may appear to come true or might come true. But behind it is not the hand of God, the true God. It is demonic forces masquerading as gods. And so Paul says, again in verse 20, rather that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons, not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with what? Demons. Verse 21. Please look at verse 21. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. Now, can anyone tell me that Halloween is a day that honors God? It's a day that honors the spiritual demonic world, the dead, And yet, this is exactly what we're trying to do. True believers, what? Are trying to drink the cup of the Lord and a cup of demons at the same time. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons. Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he is? There's a sense of punishment right here. Go ahead. Try to hold on to the Lord's cup and the cup of demons. And try to make it some type of cohesive unit. Try to make it work together. Yeah, that's what you go ahead and do. Are you stronger than God? Is God going to deal with a believer? Defies God's command to avoid such practices. Number 10. It disobeys the scripture to be separate from the world. Now go back to 2 Corinthians 14. 2 Corinthians, it disobeys the scripture to be separate from the world. Do not. Verse 14. 2 Corinthians 6:14. This is a command, and it's a present imperative. Middle tense is imperative, and it means something that you habitually and continually do. It says, do not continuously, habitually, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? Living as though there is no law. Unbelievers have no desire to live morally, to honor God, to obey God. They have no desire to do that. And he's commanding us to habitually do this, not to be unequally yoked. And you know what yoked mean? It was something that would put on animals, to tie two animals together. So here I am, I've got a yoke around my neck and I'm yoked with an unbeliever. Now he wants to go celebrate Halloween. I got to go with him. I'm yoked with him. What do we have in common? He says in verse 16, and what agreement has the temple of God with idols? We might say that, we can say that Halloween was, its origin indicates that it was idolatry. He says, what agreement has the temple of God, the church, with idols? For you are the, what? Temple of the living, ever-living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Trick-or-treat. Who are you supposed to be? I'm Saul. The man in that movie Saul, cutting up people and carrying on. Y'all know what Saul is. That movie. I never saw it. I don't like them gory movies, man. I can't. I don't watch them. But y'all know Saul. You know about Saul. They had like 15 of them. Like in the last year, they had one every month, a new Saul. And all y'all lined up to go to it. Hey, you going to see Saul 19? Yeah. I went last month and saw Saul 18. Remember Elijah on Mount Carmel? And the Bible said, Elijah said to the people, Elijah came to all the people and said, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. He said, if God is God, if follow God. Or follow Baal. You can't follow both. Can't follow both of them. And you know, the sad thing about 1 Kings 18 and 21 is the people didn't even answer him a word. They couldn't even make a decision. You know, it is tragic. Number 11, overlooks the danger of the devils and demons. Please go to Acts 19. It overlooks the danger of the devils and demons. See, we've been taught from our these charismatic type churches and stuff that you can just walk around and tell the devil what to do. No, you can't. You don't tell the devil anything to do. Devil is far more powerful than you. And just in case you think, you need to go read 2 Peter 2 and Jude. I mean, in Jude, the Bible said the archangel Michael wouldn't get into a verbal dispute with Satan. And he's far more powerful than we are. He said, I defer you to Christ. Christ will deal with you. But see, you've been told by these preachers that you can run around and tell the devil what to do. Get out of my way, devil, or I'm going to have to drop one on you. You know, people, not my rappers in here, but these other rappers talking about the devil was shaking when they got out of bed. The devil started, oh goodness, he just woke up. Oh. He said he used to rap like that. You believe somehow that you have some innate power because of your relationship to Jesus Christ that you can just, the devil's scared of you. Let me tell you something. Jesus was with his disciples, and he told Peter, he said, and the whole group in the plural. He said, you know what? The devil has just asked that he might have you, that he might shake you down like wheat. But the devil must be a bold individual to come to Christ and say, can I have them? Oh, I know what you eat. The devil walked up to Christ and said, Lord, please, could you keep Rod away from me? I'm scared of him. You know, do you think that's what he said? If he wasn't scared to walk, afraid to ask Christ for the disciple, what makes him think he's afraid of you? I guarantee you, here's a prophecy for you, and I'll give you this one for free. Just keep walking around thinking you got power over the devil. Just keep on. He's already got you. One angel in the scriptures killed 185,000 men by himself, and the devil's the most powerful angel ever created. Can you kill 185? You can't kill a cockroach. 185,000, one angel did this. One. And the devil is the most powerful created being ever. He's not afraid of you. He is afraid of God. James said, command, submit to God. Second command, resist the devil. Don't submit to God, devil's not going anywhere. See the equation? Submit to God, then resist the devil, and he'll flee. See the equation? Submit to God, resist the devil, he leaves you. No submission to God, listen to the people tell you you can fight the devil by yourself because you're all powerful. And the devil, see, you just drop part of the equation. It doesn't equal anything then. The devil say, I'm not going anywhere. And the next thing you know, you'll be getting out of the house. Because he'll take over. You might hear a voice, get out. It's time to go, brother. All right, he can have that house. Acts 19, and I want to look at verse 13 real quick, and I need to get going. Verse 13, then some of the itinerant, this is Acts 19 and 13. Now here goes some of you people that's listening to these prosperity preachers. You know, you're listening to the Creflo Dollars and the T.D. Jakes's and the Benny Hinn's and the Joel Osteen. They tell you just go run around and tell the devil what to do. And you can crush the devil and the devil all that. Yeah, yeah, okay, what? All right. Look at verse 13. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists, this is you, took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. That tells you they don't know him. They try to exorcise the demon because Paul know the demon. That's a messed up theology there, boy. Verse 14. Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest who did so. This is who they are now, these seven sons, right? And listen to what the evil spirit says in verse 15. And the evil spirit answered and said, well, Jesus I know. It means he had an experience. He had a relationship. Jesus threw him out of heaven. He knew who Jesus was. You know. And he says, Paul I know of, another Greek word. Not the same. Those no's are not the same Greek word. He says, Paul, I know about. Who are you? See, you've been following the preachers and they're telling you to go out there and tell the devil what to do. And here he is now. Just put yourself in that picture right there. Now, see, you're trying to deal with the devil because you heard some crazy theology. And you don't really understand true theology and that you need to run to Christ and let Christ deal with the devil. Just like the Lord's Prayer said, lead me not into temptation, deliver me from the evil one. Why am I asking God to deliver me from the evil one if I can boot him? And like Brother Mike says, why you keep, if you're buying it, why you keep coming back? How come you keep getting loose? Mike says, you're binding him, how come he keep getting loose? Okay, here's your messed up theology now. And you think that you can walk in there, look at your demon, get on out that man. Matter of fact, get on out that man in the Jesus that Paul preached. See, your theology is all messed up. You need a relationship with Jesus Christ. Okay, so the demon comes out, and look what the evil spirit says now. In verse 15, he says, Jesus, I know, I've had experiences with him. I had dealings personally with him. And Paul, I know about. Who are you? Then it says, the man in whom the evil spirit was jumped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Oh, yeah. That's exactly what will happen to you when you think you can tell the devil what to do. You're going to come into church one day all scratched up and naked. Yeah, keep on believing that nonsense if you want to here. And when you come in, I know what happened to you. I said, okay, they didn't listen to what they did not heed my warning. In 1 Peter 5:8, he said, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Number 12, it opens us up to demonic influence. Remember I just showed you 2 Corinthians 11:3, Paul was concerned about their minds. The devil goes for the mind. He has to convince you that what he is saying is right. And one of the things is compromise. As we get near the end of time before the second return of Christ, you're going to have religious compromise. And in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, listen to this. It says, now the Spirit explicitly, expressly says that in the last time, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to who? Deceiving spirits and teachings of demons. See, false teachings come from demons. That's the origin. The origin is the demonic. It opens you up. And you see, because you think it's subtle. Oh, it's all right. You ever see that commercial with the Orkin commercial with the termite driving a convertible? And remember he knocks on the door and he looks in and I forgot what he was asking, but he looks, is that oak? Yeah. You remember that commercial? Subtle. You know, I mean, the devil doesn't come looking like the devil. 2 Corinthians 11 says he can disguise himself as an angel of light. So he's not coming to you saying, I'm the devil. And I'm here to destroy you. No, he comes as light. He wants to compromise us. And you know, in the book of Revelation, you see an increase in the demonic activity in the book of Revelation. As we near the end of time. It's an increase in demonic activity. To deny that, you know, demons and demonic activity exist, it's called Jesus Christ a liar. Because he cast out demons. I mean, he spoke with the devil, spoke with demons. So they must exist. Number 13, denies the battle against evil. In Ephesians 6, why am I told to put on the full armor of God? What do I need armor on for? Some of y'all might be putting armor on for trick-or-treat. And you're going to get a steed and go riding up and down the streets with a one of them, what are those things, those long things they carry? Lance, yeah, a lance. You put on armor, he says, so that you can stand against the devil, his schemes. He goes for the mind. Again, 1 Peter 5:8 says that to be alert, to be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, is looking for someone to devour. And when you don't submit to God, as James says in James 4, guess what? You're opening yourself up. It's subtle. He doesn't always just come out blatantly and identify himself. He disguises himself with light or as light. He makes it look right. It appears right. It appears wholesome. It appears clean, innocent, innocuous. It seems like, hey, it's all right. We're just having fun. And you're opening up the door. Because all he needs is to get his foot in it. And eventually you will begin to compromise more and more and more. And the door is opening wider and wider. And he just comes right on in. In Revelation chapter 12 and verse 7, you go ahead and turn and listen. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon and his angels fought. Here's good angels, the angels of God, fighting against the devil and his angels, demons. It denies the battle against evil. 14, unknowingly worship the devil. Go to 1 Corinthians 10 again. It unknowingly, unwittingly, satanic power is glorified. 1 Corinthians 10. And again, verse 20. Rather, that the things which Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to what? Demons. And not to God. You think that you're not honoring God. You're literally, in a sense, worshiping demons, satanic power, under the pretense of wholesome fun. Listen to this quote when I was studying for this years ago from this witch. And it says, one former witch who came to know Christ said this: trick or treat is a reenactment of druidic practices. The candy has replaced the human sacrifices of old, but it is still an appeasement of those deceptive evil spirits. The traditional response to those who do not treat is to have a trick played on them. When you give out Halloween candy, you are, in essence, providing a sacrifice to false gods. You are participating in idolatry. Unwittingly, unknowingly worshiping the devil. I got a friend of mine who came to Jesus Christ who was in Wicca. He was a witch. I talked to him last night. I said, what did Halloween mean to you? The first thing he told me, there were two classifications of Wicca. One were ones who cast dark spells, and then the ones who cast what they call white magic. White magic is supposed to be good magic to help and benefit mankind. And obviously, you know what dark magic was. I talked to him last night. And he said Halloween was their most important day. They felt that was the day they had their most power. And he said if it was coupled with a full moon, they had even more power. That's their high day, the witches. Satanic cults or whatever, the same thing. Halloween is their high day. And so here we are as believers out there with them. Witches, Satanists. Number 15, it confuses our children. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, go over there for people who've got children. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'm going to try to close this out. This is actually, should have been two sermons, but. And I want you to go to verse 4. You parents here who have children, you have an awesome responsibility. And God will hold you accountable. Verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Verse 5 of Deuteronomy 6. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. How do I know that you love the God with all your heart, soul, and strength when it comes to children? How do I know that? Well, look at verse 6. And these words which I command you today, you shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. That doesn't leave any space, does it? If I know you love the Lord, I know you'll teach your children about God. You'll teach them to fear God and to revere God. I know you will. If you don't, you're not going to do it. Don't tell me you love God and you don't train your children to fear and love God. Don't tell me I love God. No, you don't. You teach your children diligently in verse 6, or verse 7. Verse 8, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them down on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Now, you don't have to do that. But it wouldn't be bad. I got the Ten Commandments in Stephen's room. That's probably the only thing that's kept him from losing his mind. And me having to kill him. It confuses our children. Listen to Dr. MacArthur, John MacArthur, my mentor, wrote down a quote. He said, quote, first of all, dressing up like witches, ghosts, or goblins is incompatible with the Christian testimony. Furthermore, many of the customs of Halloween are associated with the worst kinds of pagan beliefs and ceremonies. They are usually sinister things such as demons, witchcraft, and superstition. If we as Christian parents simply disregard the unchristian aspects of such practices as merely fantasy or superstition and then encourage our children to participate in them, we run the risk of communicating the message that the spiritual battle waged by the rulers of darkness is not to be taken seriously. Number 16, it sends unbelievers the wrong message. It sends unbelievers the wrong message. Verse Ezekiel 13:22, because with lies you have made the heart of the righteous sad, whom I have not made sad, and you have strengthened the hands of the wicked so that he does not turn from his wicked way to save his life. Why should a man want to come to know Jesus Christ since you're out there dressed like Freddy Krueger? Oh, by the way, can I tell you about Jesus? It sends the wrong message to unbelievers. How are we any different? How am I going to evangelize him? Are you giving him a false sense of security? Oh, Rod's out here trick-or-treating, so I guess it's all right. You know, it goes back to what we were talking about on Wednesday night when we talk about that those who are strong in faith should bear with those who are weak in the faith. So this is like my friend Tommy, who came out of paganism and Wicca and witchcraft, were to see me practicing it and say he were weak in faith. Initially, he's stronger now. He's in Reformed theology, gentlemen, and women and, you know, ladies and gentlemen, he's in Reformed theology. But he's much stronger now. But say when he first come out of it, he saw me trick-or-treating. He said, Rod, hold on a minute. Do you know I came out of that? And do you know that was our high day? Do you know that's the day we felt we had the most power? And we felt that we could cast spirits, you know, our spells had more potency when Halloween came? Do you understand that? And I would offend his conscience because he came out of it. He knew how dangerous it was. So I'm free, and I'm like, oh, yeah, man, I'm free in Christ. I can do what I want to do, man. Y'all don't care anything about that. Then I offend my weaker brother because he knows how dangerous it was. Or he feels it's dangerous. So therefore, as Paul said, because I am the stronger Christian, I will therefore bear his infirmities, his weakness, and therefore I will not do that. It sends unbelievers the wrong message. Number 17, it positions man for judgment. Don't think that God's going to take this lightly. Now, you can, like I say, I'm your pastor. I'm your brother in Christ. And it's just a warning. I'm not going to follow you around. I'm not going to put a pistol on you, the CIA, the FBI, anything like that. But it's just a warning. Now, you do what you want to do. Just like Moses told the people, everybody's on God's side, stand over him. You got a choice. Joshua said the same thing. Choose this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we're serving God. Now you do what you want to do with your house. Don't worry about it. Don't, you know,
God might have to deal with you. It positions you that God may have a chase in a believer. 18. It taints the Christian witness. 1 Thessalonians 5:22 in the King James Version says, abstain from all appearances of evil. Now, I can cut my light off, and my wife and I had this discussion. I could cut my light off and hand out tracts, cut my light on and hand out tracts. But the people driving by say, hey, there go Brother Rod over there. They celebrating Halloween. They probably handing out candy. He's supposed to be a Christian. They're not going to stop and ask you. They're going to assume that because the light's on and the door's open, the kids with ghouls masks are standing there and I'm handing them something. They swear I must be celebrating. I'll give them some candy on November 1st. I got 364 other days to give them something. I'll bypass that day in honor of Christ. I don't want to taint my Christian witness. And let me tell you something. Brother Mike and I were talking about it. We live in a bubble. Pastors live in a bubble. 24/7. If I'm at home, I better act like I know Jesus. Because Charlene and Stephen and Rashad, they all see me. When I'm out in the street, I got to live as though I know Jesus. On my job, they know I'm a minister, so I have 24/7. I've got to always be on my P's and Q's constantly, 24/7. Now some of y'all come on church on, you know, when you get ready. And, you know, you come or whatever. But you, once you leave out, nobody knows who you are. But you know what they do with pastors? I mean, the devil be following us around. I'm just waiting on that dude to mess up one time. And just as soon, you could be in the bathroom by yourself and mess up, and then all of a sudden you see a crowd in there. In a portalette. You got 10,000 people that's crying in a portalette. We saw you. We saw you do it. But you Christian rappers, y'all living in spotlight too, brother. The greater you are, the higher you up on the totem pole, people watching you. It taints our witness. And I'm concerned about my witness. I'm not trying to be good just for somebody to pat me on the back. I'm doing this for God. Christ saved me. I want to honor him by how I live, how I talk. And I've so many times, man, people come to find that you're a pastor, but they've been watching me for a while. What if I would have forgotten who I was supposed to be? What if I looked in the mirror, as James said, and turned around and forget who I am? I live in a fishbowl. And all the young ladies were at our house the other night, so you know if I had any kind of garbage up in there, you would have saw it. And I will be checking Leela to make sure none of my books left. Because she looked like she'll pick up your stuff. Number 19. Leela know I love her. That's amazing. She know I love her. She know I love her. Matter of fact, I better check all them ladies that spend the night at my house. I'm checking all. I'm coming to all your house. I'm doing a raid to make sure y'all didn't get any of my books. I tell you what, if the house caught fire and was burning down, it was Charlene and my books, Charlene's in trouble. Yeah, I say, Charlene, I say, sweet, don't see you in heaven, honey. All my books going out the window, brother. I'm saving my books. So I can read my books. I can't read Charlene. Gotta get them books, boy. I love them books. 19, represses the Christian's duty. In Ephesians 5:11, it tells us to expose evil. It tells us to expose evil. It represses the Christian duty. How can I expose evil if I'm in there, you know, participating with you? I can't say, oh, by the way, this is evil. Can't do that. And then finally, I think this is the one I saved it for last. What would Jesus do? Do you honestly think Jesus will be out celebrating Halloween? You honestly believe, please don't tell, don't raise your hand, please. Do you honestly think Jesus will be out wearing a Freddy Krueger outfit?
he wouldn't even be in a Captain America outfit. That's my son up here, Captain America. Man, these two next to me, I tell you. Do you think Jesus would do it? Man, let me go and read these verses. John 5:30. Let's stick at what Jesus said. Jesus said in John 5:30, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. In John 8:29, and there are a pile of them. I just picked a couple of them. John 8:29. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. Then what about us? 1 Corinthians 11:1. Paul says, imitate me just as I imitate Christ. Philippians 3:17. Brethren, sisteren, join in following my example and note those who walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. We're gonna put on an outfit, all right, and it's gonna be a body that looks like Christ. James says he wants that costume, that the one he got on bad. He said, toe up, heads are bowed. 20 reasons why Christians shouldn't celebrate Halloween.